Wrath and dismay contended in Ethan. He had foreseen an immediate demand for money, but not a permanent drain on his scant resources. He no longer believed what Zena had told him of the supposed seriousness of her state. He saw in her expedition to Bettsbridge only a plot hatched between herself and her Pierce relations to foist on him the cost of a servant. And for the moment, wrath predominated. "If you meant to engage a girl, you ought to have told me before you started," he said. "How could I tell you before I started? How did I know what Dr. Buck would say?" "Oh, Dr. Buck!" Ethan's incredulity escaped in a short laugh. "Did Dr. Buck tell you how I was to pay her wages?" Her voice rose furiously with his. "No, he didn't, for I'd have been ashamed to tell him that you grudged me the money to get back my health when I lost it nursing your own mother."
"You lost your health nursing mother?"
"Yes. And my folks all told me at the time you couldn't do no less than marry me after..."
"Zena!"
Through the obscurity which hid their faces, their thoughts seemed to dart at each other like serpents shooting venom. Ethan was seized with horror of the scene and shame at his own share in it. It was as senseless and savage as a physical fight between two enemies in the darkness. He turned to the shelf above the chimney, groped for matches, and lit the one candle in the room. At first its weak flame made no impression on the shadows. Then Zena's face stood grimly out against the uncurtained pane, which had turned from gray to black. It was the first scene of open anger between the couple in their sad 7 years together. And Ethan felt as if he had lost an irretrievable advantage in descending to the level of recrimination. But the practical problem was there and had to be dealt with.
"You know I haven't got the money to pay for a girl, Zena. You'll have to send her back. I can't do it. The doctor says it'll be my death if I go on slaving the way I've had to. He doesn't understand how I've stood it as long as I have."
"Slaving?"
He checked himself again.
"You shan't lift a hand if he says so. I'll do everything round the house myself,"
she broke in. "You're neglecting the farm enough already." And this being true, he found no answer, and left her time to add ironically,
"Better send me over to the almshouse and done with it. I guess there's been Fromes there afore now."
The taunt burned into him, but he let it pass.
"I haven't got the money. That settles it,"